The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up and coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com. Hello, welcome back to the Scouted podcast, powered by our data partner Skill Corner, whose tracking services and insights are used by a whole host of top clubs across Europe and the rest of the world. This week, I'm delighted to be able to welcome a title-winning individual to the Scouted pod. Historic Italian club Parma Calcio were recently crowned champions of Serie B, and next season will compete in Italy's top flight once again. Sebastian Cousteau is head of data and analytics at the club and joins me now. Sebastian, congratulations are in order. Since we last spoke, you've secured promotion and the Serie B title. How does that feel?
Well, first of all, credit is thank you for having me. And then credit to the team, to the staff. They did an incredible job. Delighted. It's what the club deserved, really, with the way they're working. And very, very blessed to be part of that journey.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been saying, you know, looking at the results that Parma have had this season, you know, finishing the campaign on, you know, close to 80 points. I think you've only lost twice since the turn of the year in 2024, and lots and lots of clean sheets. It's been a very successful year for the club, and obviously achieving the goal that the president Kyle Krauser sort of put out was that you really wanted to achieve promotion back to Serie A. Is from a personal standpoint though, what's your background? You know, is this your first success in football?
First success in football, yeah. So background, I started working not in football, I started working in rugby 7 years ago in 2017 for the French Rugby Union as an intern. And quickly after that, founded a consulting/software company in 2017, and you know, worked with a few football teams, few elite teams, French Federation, Monaco, ran in France, mainly in France, but also in Europe, in Switzerland, and in North America, also outside of what they call soccer, and joined Parma 2.5 years ago in 2022. To lead the data analytics project.
And you say to lead the data and analytics project, you know, what is the day-to-day for you? You know, how much is match analysis? How much is recruitment side of things? I suppose it probably changes depending on the time of the year.
Exactly. So not only do we work on match analysis and recruitment, but we also have a strong activity on the entire performance part, so you know, sports science, strength and conditioning, nutrition. So we work really across the club as a data team, and you know, as you said, different moments of the season bring forward different allocation of the time. Obviously, we're way less involved now on the match analysis for the next couple of months, and way more involved on the scouting part. While in February, during that final race for the title, we were a lot more involved on the performance, giving insights and data to our match analysts and to our sports scientists, so that they can translate that into actionable things with the coach.
It's very interesting because, you know, when you do think about analysis and you know, individuals who are in your role, you do think about it very much as match analysis, you know, how can we improve what happens on the pitch? But I suppose there is so much at play and so many opportunities for marginal gains that, yeah, it does make a lot of sense to be analyzing the performance indicators as well, like nutrition and recovery and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, the way we work, the way the club is set up, is to have a centralized data team, which means, you know, When they have data needs, etc., they come to us and we work on the data to provide answers to the question that they need. And then we pass it directly to them, to our kind of end users, match analysts, nutritionists, sports scientists, psychologists, etc., so that they can own that insight and then they can act on it. So it's very centralized in terms of data. There are some clubs that are organized differently. With a lot of data analysts in the different departments, we chose to be centralized data team so that we can serve all of their use cases and manage the data.
It sounds as though it's a very data influenced club, and it's something which the president has gone on record to speak about previously. Do you find that makes your job easier when the powers that be are data literate and that they're able to maybe contribute to these sorts of conversations?
Well, one thing is certain. You do need to have some buy-in from your leadership, top management, ownership, etc., in order to build a successful project. You also need, of course, buy-in from, you need a top-down and the bottom-up approach, because if the people that are supposed to use the data are not interested, they won't consult it. Now, the fact that we have a president and a leadership group in general that is very keen into data, very interested, makes it much easier, because we have access to what we need. We can interact with the entire club without feeling a bit on the outside. Overall, honestly, it's not building pressure. It's really giving us all the tools that we need to do our job. And it empowers us to go and spread the word of data as well.
Probably a key reason for the success this season is the alignment that you have. You're talking about bottom up and top down, and having that, everybody singing from the same hymn sheet obviously is going to contribute to success on the pitch if everybody's aligned off it. I'd say that Palmer are quite different in the sense that from conversations that I've had with you, the club are quite open with how you do things. A lot of clubs aren't. Why do you think that this club in particular is so transparent?
Well, I think, it's mainly due to the people that are in the position that they're in. We're very lucky, and, I've seen environments where that's not the case, but we're very lucky to have a staff, whether it's first team, but also youth and women, that is very open to data. The first team is incredibly eager to see what we can do, what we can bring, what we can bring to them, and that transpires into our interactions with them. They bring questions. Etc. Now, to say that it's because of that we won the title, I wouldn't say that. But obviously, it made things easier for us, and I'm sure that it allowed us as well to deliver great insights that they were able to act on, that contributed, probably.
I know. I can see that it's sort of the reluctance in you to say that everything is sort of down to the data side, because while it obviously plays a part, it's a lot more all encompassing than that. And of course you're coming across very humble, but ultimately the success is partly yours as well. Of course the team are the ones who go out onto the pitch, but those data insights are very, very important. Let's talk about the football side of things then. And of course, the team finishing first in Serie B this season will be playing Serie A next year. How would you describe the season? How would you describe the manager Fabio Pecchia's style? You've had the best away record in Serie B this season, scored the second most goals, also conceded the second fewest. So at both ends of the pitch, very, very functional. How would you describe the year?
Well, yeah, first of all, results are there. So second best attacks, second best defense, best goal difference as well, by quite a bit. And you know, in terms of style and also a bit, you know, the reasons that this year was successful. So Mr. Petja always had the same playing philosophy. You know, so before he arrived, we had to look at his data at Cremonese the year before. We knew that he was a match kind of for the football that we wanted to play. And you know, his style, it isn't offensive. It's a ball winning style, high pressure, etc. It's a very interesting football to watch, and yeah, that journey of 2 years with the team, getting to know well each other, with very few changes in the last mercato, that team really started playing very well together. But also last year, I finished fourth last year, got out in the playoffs. And yeah, you know, that entire journey that the team has done is now, you know, crowned, which we use the team now crowned Serie A champion. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it must feel especially good, considering that last season, as you say, that the team went out in the playoffs, you know, having such a successful season, as you know, finishing fourth is, but to then go one better and well, go several better and actually win the title, not just win promotion. You know, when you're doing sort of your work and your analysis, particularly on the match performance side of things, you know, do you find that different styles and different ways of playing are easier to analyze or more difficult? You know, what's the sort of workflow with that?
Well, so easier or harder to analyze, I don't know. Now, you know, we've got a kind of very structured process in place for match analysis, where, you know, a week before the game, we give them access to a ton of info, insights about the opponent. They have access to, you know, their interactive platform, or match analysts can go there directly, choose the team, watch the last performances, watch how the team plays, how the team played in the last few games, etc., so that, you know, they can pinpoint what they want to show to the coach, to the players as well. And then, you know, they analyze that on video. They can ask for more info on very specific things, you know, that we haven't automated or not automated yet. And you know, we've got a funnel of information where they can go pick what they want, ask for more stuff until game day. And then you know, arrive game time, all drop kind of stops here. We don't do anything during the game, not yet. Until after the game, where within seconds after the final whistle, they all receive their WhatsApp, their report automatically, and a very short report. And then 30, 40 minutes later, a very detailed report that gets sent to you know, the sporting director, a managing director of sports, and everyone who is involved really. With the team, so that they can analyze that game as in detail, you know, and then we're back at it. So pre-game, etc., etc. So it's a very structured process that you know really helps. I think having that kind of process structured is really helpful, because it allows teams to focus. It allows a match analyst to focus on analyzing the game rather than trying to construct from the data.
It sounds as though it's a very hectic and very regimented schedule, but obviously centralized, and it works, and it clearly has worked for you this season. You know, do you find that the turnaround between matches, so you know, if there's 3 days between one fixture and then the next, that's a very, very, very busy period, because you know, you have to prepare all that pre-match stuff on top of, you know, the post-match reports and analysis and all that sort of thing.
Well, obviously, you know, it's you work in, you have more time. Like, the more time there is between games, the more time you have to work. Now, for pre-game, you know, when we're lucky enough to have two match analysts on the first team working. So, you know, when that happens, they manage to kind of split the load. Now, in terms of the data and the analysis, as I mentioned, the way we're structured is we try to provide them as much insight as we can, and we try to, you know, automate. So that entire process that I've mentioned on the data part is completely automated. And then, you know, the match analyst is in charge of doing the analysis of that. So for us, it's not changing that much whether we play every 3 days, every 5, every 7 days. But for them, definitely it's more challenging.
Oh yeah, I mean, you hear about managers and them saying, you know, the turnaround between matches is often, particularly from a recovery perspective, is very stressful. But I just wanted to sort of see if that was the same for you guys. But obviously, with the data side being automated, that obviously does help out quite a lot. This might be a bit of a difficult question, but considering, you know, you've won the title this year, if you had to critique your own performance this season, you know, in how the data side has been done, or analysis or anything like that, which areas would you like to improve in, sort of heading into Serie A? What would you change from 23-24 into 24-25?
So it's not a critique, really. It's more, you know, the more we're moving forwards, the more opportunities we have. And so I think definitely one thing that we will do starting next year is involving you know, more the coaching staff, etc., in the insights that they want, and in, you know, all the work that we can do, because at the moment we have great interactions with the video analysts and the match analysts, etc., and they are very important to us because they are the relay between us and the staff. You know, in order to tailor even better the analysis, it's important that, you know, we're able to do more workshops with them, etc., which is something that so they've been very open to it since day one. We weren't quite ready enough. That's one of the reasons. And the second reason is, it's been 2 years that they work with data, so now they start to have a real grip for what we can do. And yeah, it opens, you know, possibilities. One of the strong emphasis for this season for us, you know, internally as a data team for the club, was to you know, present and show what we do, and kind of to educate or end users. Obviously some are easier to educate than others. Very lucky with the staff who understands what we can do. You know, now that part we've had a lot of progress in that part. It makes things easier to now, you know, approach the question of data and live data, etc., for instance.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking there about the relationship between yourself and the coaches and, you know, the match analysts and that sort of thing. And I mean, I agree with you. I think that's probably a good idea to, you know, to develop that relationship, just because when you're on the same page, and as we were talking earlier about alignment, it's going to make for much, I don't know, more streamlined way of working. You know, in terms of the with the coach and with the sporting director, with the president, you know, how closely are you working with, or how closely are you reporting into those people? Because you know, you hear a lot about clubs who perhaps there's a disconnect between those separate roles. What's that relationship like with yourself at Parma?
So, you know, as I said, so as a data team, very centralized, we try to do not, you know, we don't interface too much with staff. We interface, you know, with or the performance team, the match analyst team, etc. So that's a bit our relationship with the staff. So when the staff has a question or a request, they know that they can go through through their analysts, and you know, depending on whether it's a video or data or whatever the issue, they bring it to us and we work. Regarding sporting directors, and you know, for us, managing director of sports, considering how we're structured, a lot of the interaction goes through through our chief performance analytics officer, who's Mathieu Lacombe, who's my boss, and you know, he's in charge of. So he reports to managing director of sports, and he's in charge of bringing those messages to kind of above the leadership and ownership group.
So looking ahead to the future then, and I mean, it is the very near future. I know that you'll probably want some time to sort of reflect on the success of this year, but you know, us, the both of us knowing how fast paced and fast moving football is, you're always looking at the next objective, the next milestone. You know, what do the next couple of months look like for you then? Because you know, there's the obvious need to look at recruitment decisions. There's obviously going to be some incomings and outgoings with in terms of the squad, and in general preparing, you know, what, like what you were saying, the performance insights for pre-season training and for preparing for the you know, the higher intensity of Serie A. So what is the outlook for the next few months?
Well, you know, first things first, that there's no mystery, then you know, we're going to transition from being on the dominating side of the championship to probably having to suffer a bit more. So you know, we need to start informing that transition. So what can we expect? What can we expect from the new championship? What can we expect from the new teams? You know, everything that's gonna arrive our way in Serie A. And from that, you know, we need to, you know, we've got some players today that are very good in some certain area. Potentially in the next season, again, we're going to be defending a bit more, probably suffering a bit more. So we need to find the players that are going to feel kind of the weaknesses of the new playing style that we're going to have to adopt, knowing that, you know, can change completely the squad neither. That was actually one of the, I said that that's one of the reason why that team is so successful. They know each other very well. We've got a team that played a lot together, and you know, it's been proven that has a strong impact on results. So you know, it's important not to break everything. So that's, you know, one thing. The other thing, really, for the data team, new championship means a lot of changes. We're going to be working with different data. We're going to be working probably during live analysis, etc. So that's all this kind of stuff that we're starting to prepare now with the amazing data team here, so that on day one of the new season, we're ready.
Yeah, I don't envy you. It sounds like an interesting summer that you've got lying ahead. But I suppose it's the reward for the hard work that's been done so far. And you know what you were saying about the team not breaking up something that has been so successful. You do see that a lot. Many teams that do get earn promotion, the ones that keep the core of their squad together, the ones that have, you know, maybe like Parma, you know, they've been up in the playoffs and then obviously fallen away and then come again the following year and gone up as champions like you have this year. Having that familiarity and that know-how within the squad of each individual player's game really does help when you then go up that next level and you kind of have to, you know, link arms, defend, suffer, as you say. It's a lot easier to do that when you look to your left and your right and you've got players that you've been playing with for the past two seasons. I mean, in terms of, from just a basic recruitment perspective, you know, in Serie B is a league which I don't have a great deal of experience in. But you know, which leagues do you tend to find particularly interesting to watch or to find players from?
I don't know, looking a bit at how the team was built, we happen to have a lot of. So first of all, we happen to have a lot of nationalities in the team. I know that we have a lot of few players from Eastern Europe, a lot of French speaking players. Now the leagues of interest are probably going to change, obviously, when we go to next year or Serie A. But as of now, in Serie B, the market is very Italian based and Eastern European because, well, budgets are kind of what they are. So it's leagues like, obviously, England is out of the question. First division, Big Five is tough. Second division as well. So, you know, you've got to get kind of creative. Find the right players if you don't want them, or if you get them away.
So, in terms of, you know, making recruitment decisions like that, you're kind of looking at as you say, you're having to be more creative. You're looking at maybe the leagues that other teams in other leagues, maybe, you know, Big Five leagues that they're not really looking at, or not really giving as much interest to, because, you know, I mean, would you say that recruitment decisions at a Serie B level are riskier than you know the decisions which you know clubs with loads and loads of resources are able to make?
So first of all, we happen to have a very good and quite big scouting department. So you know we're able to get insights on like literally thousands of players a month. From our scouting department, so you know they've got a good understanding of football and you know where the good players are, etc. Now you know you when a very good so an outstanding player in Polish first division. Really outstanding that has done a great season or even a great half of a season is going to be scouted by clubs that you know we cannot compete with. So you know if you want to try to get those players, of course you need to take more risk. You need to get in early, and you know then it's the scout kind of job to put the name on the list and to explain why he thinks it's a good pick. And you know, we've been they're doing tremendous work. We're very, very lucky as a team to have a scouting department that works well, because when you look at the players they were able to discover, it's they're doing an incredible job, really. And you know, in terms of the data for players that didn't play much, it's we have to trust them because we don't have enough data. And then for players that played a bit more, etc., then we can enter that into a data process as well for the scouting department.
I mean, you can never have too much data, I suppose, as long as you know how to use it. Yeah. Before we finish our conversation today, then, just returning back to sort of winning the title, you know, how have you personally celebrated the promotion to Serie A and obviously winning the title? I certainly hope you've given yourself a pat on the back, Sebastian.
You know, not only me, but the entire, you know, data team and performance analytics team. It's been an incredible time. Now I'm not too much into celebration. I see your next objective. So the day after, we're already already back to work. Now it's you know, it's incredible. It's something that, you know, you don't live every year, fortunately, and neither every other year, because otherwise it means you keep bouncing back and forth, which is not ideal. it feels good. It's what we've been working for the past 2.5, 2 years, depending on, you know, who joined when. It's really the accomplishment, you know, that's done. Now that the hard, as I said, the hard part begins. We're back with 0 points. So right now we have 0 points, and we know that we need 36 next season. So that's going to be the objective. Stay in Syria and win as much as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm certainly going to keep a close eye on Parma's results next season, and also the business that the club does this summer. Because, yeah, I mean, I'd encourage anybody who hasn't followed Serie B like myself to go and have a look at this Parma team. As Sebastian was saying, you know, lots of different nationalities, lots of players from clubs all over Europe, and yeah, it's come together to be a really successful season. But yeah, Sebastian, thank you very much for giving up your time. Really, really appreciate your insights and your expertise. And yeah, best of luck with everything in the summer and all the preparations for Serie A.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much.
Right, well, that's everything from the Scouted podcast this week. We'll be back with another episode this month on a similar topic with another excellent guest. But yeah, I've been Joe Donoghue, your host, and this has been the Scouted podcast. Bye for now. The Scouted podcast is brought to you with the support of our friends at Skill Corner, whose tracking data and performance analytics are used by many of the top clubs, leagues, and federations around the world. Covering a wide range of global competitions, Skill Corner's data helps customers to make faster, better informed decisions in recruitment, player development, and strategy. And we are now using it to support our own analysis of up-and-coming talent. For more information, visit skillcorner.com.